I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie and Mark.
This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009, and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah. You're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
I'm not here around this week. Now, you may be, but I'm not.
You hungry?
Hey, Mom! Bring us some meatloaf!
Now, if you don't think this is the greatest, I will fight you. That's no lie.
Can you clap for the killers?
All right, let's rock.
Give it up for them gangsters. One time for the killers. Double up for them gangsters.
Hi, I'm Bill White, and welcome to Chicago Bullseye.
I gotta be honest, I come in
with
like a little like, I'm trying to get my parents to put your mom, and it's like, you still got it.
All right, hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Blumenthal. With me, as always, is Fred Pfeiffer. Fred, how are you?
I'm doing okay, man. Excited about this team still after last night's exciting victory over the Heat, which, you know, Wade wanted, even though he didn't play exceptionally well. I'm still bullish on the team. I spoke with Waddle and Sylvie today, and, you know, Waddle did his best to take me down, off the mountain. But I really still believe, big picture, when you have two guys as good as Wade and Butler who can draw a double team, when it comes time for the playoffs, that's going to be a very dangerous team, especially when you consider how often they get to the line and at the rate that Butler's shooting the free throws and Wade, too, as far as making them. That team's going to be a very dangerous team. So I'm not saying they're going to beat Cleveland. I don't think they will, but I think they could scare, you know, the bejesus out of them, and I also the daylights off of them. And I also feel that, you know, I think they could beat any other team in the East.
I'm not that convinced yet. I really felt like that Atlanta game the other day showed me a lot about what I think this team lacks. And I think, you know, our bench depth is pretty low. It seems like losing Michael Carter-Williams has had a huge impact on this team, mainly because you don't have anybody else to really pick up the slack. I mean, Nico has been extremely inconsistent. And, you know, frankly, I mean, nobody on the bench has really stood out as being that special. Nobody. And then in terms of our front court, you really saw a team like Atlanta, their length, their size really got to us. I mean, we don't really have a big team. And even Taj, as great as he's played, I like Taj coming off the bench because Taj is a great bench player. He's not a big dude. And, you know, Lopez is not a great defender. He's not a great rebounder. So I love our backcourt, Fred. Our backcourt this year, especially with Wade and Butler, has been playing fantastic. And I've loved Dwayne Wade on this team. It's been fun to watch. I love watching him every day. I think we have a chance in every single game because of him. But the problem is that I think, there's not a lot. This team is just not that deep, man. If anything ever happens to Dwayne Wade, we're screwed. And the progression of our rookies, I feel, has really stalled, or our young talent has really stalled. I mean, I'm getting to a point where I think it's time to let's bring in Valentine. Let's give him some minutes.
I completely agree with you there. Yeah.
The guys that are playing aren't playing very well.
Let me jump
Bobby
in.
Bobby Portis has been a major disappointment.
I disagree with you that we don't have talent or depth on the bench. I think we do. The problem is a lot of these guys, the biggest issue to me with this team is we have no defensive stoppers off the bench. Every player down the line, from McDermott to Nico to Valentine to Portis, all these guys, you could possibly say Felicio is the exception, but most of these guys are offensive-orientated players. That's where their strengths are, allegedly, on the offensive end. And I think that McDermott has that. I think that kid can shoot. Well, he's already proven he can shoot. I think you're seeing him improve on the drives. I think he has the ability to be a really good player. Not an all-star level, but a solid contributor who's going to bring scoring, bring shooting, stuff that's important to win in the NBA. You hit a point, though. You're basically touching on a point, which I think is the biggest issue. Outside of Lopez and outside of Taj, this team is not good on the interior defensively. And that's where the issues, to me, really come and show. I mean, Felicio's picking up fouls every other minute. He's got the ability to do it, but Nico doesn't. Nico's been horrific on the defensive end. And I touched on this today on Twitter. I looked at pictures of Nico in 2014, and I look at him today. I think he's actually smaller or skinnier than he was in 2014. This guy has not put on an ounce of muscle, as far as I can tell, in 2 years. And it's inexcusable. He needs to be much stronger in a defensive end. He's been horrific for 2 weeks. And, you know, but you should gain some solace in that fact that he's underperformed. McDermott overall is probably underperformed. I think Rondo's underperformed. And yet the team's still 5-4. And those three guys are important parts of this team that you got to believe are going to play better.
We're 5-4, Fred, but the team that I saw that won those first three games, I have not really seen since. And, you know, the ball, we were killing people with ball movement, with rebounding. I haven't seen those since those first three games. You've seen them in spurts, but not in any sort of consistency. So, you know, I don't know. I'm beginning to think that this might be a 500 team, and it's just, you know, around a 500 team, yeah, which will be fine. I mean, even in a game over 500 right now, we'd be in the playoffs. Playoffs started today. I don't really see the depth in the East this year the same that you had last year. I think the East is a little bit more shallow, so which is enough.
I mean, I disagree with that. I mean, how can you say that? Look at Charlotte. Boston's having a horrible year. That's supposed to be one of the better teams. Look at Charlotte's doing. They're actually ahead of Cleveland right now. I think overall the East is pretty strong.
Toronto's I'm not saying that. Obviously, Charlotte's playing great. You have another team right now that looks like they could be a pretty damn good team. But the Wizards are done. The Miami Heat are not part of this discussion anymore. I'm sure the Celtics will make their way back in, but I'm also sure the Bucks will probably make their way back out. Though, actually, the Bucks have been playing pretty damn well. I mean, obviously, Parker's been tearing it up. They've been playing really well despite the fact that Middleton's not there. When Middleton comes back next year, I think that's a very dangerous team. I mean, look, I think we'll be fighting for a playoff spot. I don't see where
I agree, but the team, I predicted 44 wins before the season. I think the league is really, there's a lot of teams that are very similar, all pretty good, that I think the Bulls are right in that bunch. That's my point. I don't think the second best team in the East, I think that team can be the Chicago Bulls. It's going to take one of those guys off the bench to make that leap. And I think that guy's Valentine, and he hasn't got any minutes. I know he was you know, basically relegated to bench status because of the injury in the first game of the preseason. But that guy can bring him minutes at the one. I think he can bring him minutes at the two, and I think he can sometimes, in the right matchup, provide you some minutes at the three. That guy needs more playing time, and I don't know if it's Cannon or, you know, McDermott, or I don't know who it is, whose minutes need to come down. But you got to find a way to get that guy in the lineup to contribute and help out this team.
I agree with you. Because, I mean, look, the whole point of this Dwayne Wade thing was try not to suck. I mean, it was like, let's not suck. Let's put together the pieces that can mentor these players into becoming as good of players as they could possibly be. So we know in the future kind of what we have. And by not playing, I mean, whatever, maybe they think that Valentine's not ready to go, but you would think if he's cleared, he's ready to go. And I you know, the type of injury Valentine has, frankly, in my opinion, is one where it could be a nagging injury, so to give him a little more time, I'm not necessarily opposed to. But
good
I don't,
point.
You know, at some point soon, you should start giving him, you know, an opportunity to play. But, you know, look, the problem that I see with this team is that if, you know, Wade wasn't 34 years old, I would see the potential where it's like, okay, we've got some really nice pieces that we can continue to build around to really make a nice contending team. The problem that I have with this team is that I feel like we're just a couple pieces short, and it's like I don't feel like they're pieces that are that difficult to get. Like, it's like we need some depth down low. The problem is Nico's not playing well. So without Nico being good and with Portis being pretty freaking weak, we really need – We need some depth down low. I mean, Felicio hasn't been what we want him to be. We just don't have any size on this team. We only really have one true center on this team, Lopez. We don't even have a backup center, really.
Yeah, I guess you could make the argument Felicio is, but I know a lot of people love the guy. I think he's extremely slow on rotation. It could be because he's just still learning, right? That he's a young kid who, you know, I think probably picked up the game pretty late. Super talented. He's got athletic ability. I just don't see the love for the guy. I think on the defensive end, he picks up way too many fouls, and he's way too slow on rotating. He's not that long. That's the other thing about him. He's a good jumper. He's a good athlete. but he doesn't have long arms. And I don't think he's ever going to be a great shot blocker or a rim protector. So, you know, there's problems there. That's, to me, their biggest need. You've got to find a guy to come off the bench or find a quality four or five starter type so you can bring Taj off the bench. And, I think that's a good point. Taj is great off the bench. He's been playing great as a starter. And I'd probably keep him there just because he seems that he's really thriving in this role. But somehow, some way, you've got to find a defensive-centric four or five or a three. I mean, I think that's where their biggest fault is right now. And besides that, though, I keep on coming back to this point. Butler's top 10 in free throws made. He's top 10 in the league in free throws attempted. Wade, in very limited minutes, is top 50. If he was playing more minutes, I think he'd be in the top 25. Again, those two guys in the playoffs are going to see a ton more minutes, a ton more free throws. It's really hard to, I think, to quantify or to basically identify how important that is. I just think that's so important in the playoffs. I have two guys that can draw a double team will create a mess for a lot of teams in the playoffs if, you know, everybody remains healthy.
Yeah, but I still think no matter what, I agree with you, Fred, and it's fun. No matter what happens this season, just having them makes this season fun. But and I agree with you that we need to keep Taj in the position that he's in because we have literally no one else. But a lot of these teams in the East now especially have big men. And, you know, they've got bodies to play against us. And I really think Atlanta, you know, obviously we came out to a slow start in that game, but we got back in that game. So I'm going to look at it from the third quarter on.
Yep.
The issue that we had was their size. Their size destroyed us. And a lot of good teams in the East are big. That's or they have some big guys. I mean, like, you know, Taj, because it doesn't go beyond Taj and Lopez at all. Like, our bench big men are absolutely horrible. Look, Toronto has got, like, two, three big guys on their team, good big guys. Detroit, Milwaukee.
Celtics have Horford.
Indiana does.
Yeah.
Atlanta,
Celtics
all
have
of them do. Cleveland,
right.
They all have big guys that are worthwhile, that are decent big guys. We don't have that, man. And the problem, you know, just because Bobby Portis so far has been a joke, and he's playing, you know, decent minutes on the team. So it's like, and I just don't see Nico ever playing like a big man. Even if Nico's playing, I mean, it all comes down to, is Nico shooting well or is Nico not shooting well? But, you know, defensively, I don't see him ever being a difference maker down there, which is huge at that position. I like having a four that can spread the floor like he can. But even on his best days, he is not an intimidating presence at all down low.
Great point. Hey, Nico is caught in between being too slow for a three and too weak for a four. I love you. You touched on a point. I think he could, against the right matchup, spring guys out that shooting ability when it's going well. But he's shooting, I think, under 30% from three. He's been shooting terrible this year. And if he's not hitting that three, he's really not going to bring anything else because he's way too weak down low. He's been a travesty on the defensive end. You touched on Portis. I've always felt that way. Portis is not a good athlete. I think he's got the ability to be a really solid offensive player. Defensively, I really question if he's ever going to be, you know, even anywhere above average, average at best. And so, you know, a good point you're making with a lot of the talent now and the big men in the center position, Howard in Atlanta. And going to Atlanta game is my nightmare scenario for the playoffs, where you have Wade and Butler playing at an incredible level. I mean, Butler had an incredible line in the first half that was good enough for an entire game. He had 24 points at the half, just played out of his mind. So did Wade. And you literally had no one else doing anything. And you didn't have enough defense down low. So you bring up a really good point. I keep on saying, like, if we had, like, a 2012 Omer Sheik coming off the bench, that's exactly what we'd need. And I think we'd look substantially better. Not even a starter quality big man, just a defensive-centric big man to come up, guard the rim, get some rebounds, play some good defense. There's got to be that guy out there. I don't know where he's at. Anybody, if you can think of somebody's suggestions, email the show, ChicagoBullseye@gmail.com.
And hey, maybe Omer Sheik. Maybe Omer
Sheik. Yeah, who knows? Maybe it's right. Good call.
You know, the only team I'm looking at right now, the lineup for the Charlotte Hornets, and the Hornets are a team that do not have of a dominating presence down low. They got Frank Kaminsky at center, and they've got Roy Hibbert playing at center. So that is a team that is
obviously... Well, he's a good rim defender. He's a good, I mean, That's not a bad rim defender. He's a defensive. I always say you got to have your strength down low interior on the defense, and Hibbert's a good rim defender.
That's true, but he's only playing 18 minutes a game. So, I mean, he's not even playing a whole lot. But,
well, that's
you know,
true,
the thing
too.
With
good
them,
call.
Though, let's be honest, the Hornets haven't really played any good teams. They lost to the Celtics. They've beaten the Bucks early on, which the Bucks seem to be kind of getting going now. They seem to be playing better, I mean, as of late. The Heat, who sucks, they lost the Celtics. They beat the Sixers and Nets, the Pacers, who have not been good so far, the Jazz, who have been good. But let's give the Hornets a little bit here, because I really don't see this lasting, personally. I don't think they have the personnel, personally. But, yeah, I mean, besides that, though, yeah, Cleveland, Atlanta, Toronto.
Atlanta's looked good. Atlanta beat Cleveland at Cleveland, then they beat the Bulls. I think Atlanta looks, Howard looks like he's rejuvenated his career. He looks fantastic to me in the games I've watched. And, you know, they still have a ton of talent. I always thought Teague was overrated anyhow. And he's had a horrific shooting start in Indiana. I just think it's competitive. I think there's a lot of good teams, but I don't see why the Bulls aren't the second best team.
Oh, that I disagree with.
With a few moves.
To me, I'm sorry, but watching that Hawks game the other day, that was a better basketball team. That's a team that in a seven-game series is going to beat us every single time. I mean, because they weren't shooting well, and they were still beating us because they were so much better defensively than we were. So I do not think that we are the second-best team by
What do you mean
stretch.
They weren't shooting well? Tavo Cefalosha
at the beginning
of
the game, at the end, I'm saying. Take the second half. At the end, they were not shooting particularly well.
Well, we weren't shooting well either.
They literally were getting open shots that they weren't hitting. Whereas with us, they were swerving us defensively. And, you know, I mean, we were struggling, but their defense looks phenomenal. I thought we were outmatched. I was not upset with that game at all. I was happy that we fought our way back. It was on the road. You know, I literally thought if there wasn't a game, that we got beaten by the better team. So, you know, if you're asking me, it looks to me like Toronto, I mean, maybe we could compete with them, but Toronto's got a lot of good players, man.
DeMar DeRozan's averaging, I think, 34 points a game, and he's had 2 3-pointers all season. That's insane.
That is insane.
I do want to bring up another quick point. I don't know if you, bigger picture, NBA is a bigger picture. Did you see what Wiggins is shooting for Minnesota from three? He's leading the league in 3%. He's shooting like over 60%. I think it's 63%. This is a guy who shot 30% from 3 last year. I hear people talking about how good Wade's shooting or how ridiculous it is. And Wade's kind of come back to earth in the last few games from the 3-point line. Anybody going to mention that? Well, Wiggins going from 30 to 60-plus, you think that's going to hold up? How about Zach LaVine, who's shooting 48% from 3? You think that's going to last? It's like it's so selective with some of these Bulls fans talking about, well, Wade's not going to shoot like this all year. We're still a 30-win team. Yeah, well, there's outliers everywhere. And there's some teams like Minnesota that have two guys shooting lights out and still 2-5.
To be fair, it's a lot more unlikely to see a player that has played in the league for 14 years all of a sudden create this aspect to his game. And look. Do I believe that he has? Yes. I don't need much more evidence. He's showing me that he can shoot the three. He's been shooting it really well. Even if he doesn't maintain what he's been doing, he's still shooting the ball up. Wiggins, he's a young player, man. Wiggins has taken his game up to a whole other level. So it's like, I mean, that's
63% from three. No one
maybe
takes it that level.
I mean, maybe he's not going to hold up at 63%, but dude, he shot 2 for 4 yesterday, 6 for 7 the other day. 2 for 3, 2 games before that. He's hitting his shot. I don't think he's going to necessarily stay at 60%, but who's to say? He's going to be, I mean, he's taking a lot of threes a game. Clearly, it's a major part of his game. He's averaging 3 3-pointers a game. It's clearly a big part of his game.
Let me make a point about Minnesota to all the Tibbs lovers. They started out 1-4, and I was so impressed with Tibbs limiting the minutes of Towns. I thought for sure in those first 5 games he'd have Towns a center in the top, you know, 10, top 15 of MPGs. He was at 25 minutes per game. I sent out a tweet, if they continue at this pace where they were 1-4 at the time, he'll have him in the top 10 in MPGs. He's not going to be able to contain himself. And lo and behold, what happens? Now he's up to 19th in the league in minutes per game. He's one of 2 centers in the entire NBA in the top 20 in minutes per game. and he played 41 minutes in Orlando the other night. He played 41. He played over 40 minutes six times in 82 games last year, and he plays in 41 minutes against Orlando, at Orlando the other night, in order to get a victory. Now they're 2-5. Really important to watch.
Yeah,
that.
And
I know,
you're getting crushed, and you're losing by quite a bit. I mean, like, or by, you're winning by, I'm not crushed, you're winning by a lot. They won 123-107. So to play 39 minutes, well, I'm looking at Wiggins, but to play those kinds of minutes, hey, the night before in Brooklyn,
Towns,
Wiggins,
Towns played 41.
The last two games, he played 39 minutes last night, and there are, no, I'm sorry, Wednesday night. He played 39 minutes Wednesday night, 41 minutes on Tuesday night. That's Wiggins.
I don't have as much of an issue with Wiggins. I'm talking, because he's a three. Centers are not supposed to play those type of minutes. He did the same thing to Noah, and he sacrificed Noah's knees for regular season wins. I don't want to see that happen to Towns. Towns has got a ton of ability. He's a great player. And I'm fine if he's going to play Towns 32 minutes in the next game or 30 minutes. But if the game's competitive and you keep on seeing him pull this nonsense where he's playing 40-plus minutes as a center and falls in the top 10.
After a back-to-back? That was a back-to-back, Fred?
I don't think it was a back-to-back, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Are you serious?
Orlando was a back-to-back. They played the day before in Brooklyn.
Unbelievable. He played on the second day of a back-to-back, 41 minutes. I did not know that. That's unbelievable.
I know.
Wow.
Insane.
I don't know what to say about that. That's just,
and it sucks. You know, I mean, Minnesota, I was telling you today, I mean, I don't want to talk about tips for the rest of the season, but, you know, we're starting to see they suck. The opponent field goal percentage, they were 24th in the league with opponent field goal percentage. And to me, that's like the key metric of if you're a decent defensive team or not. They're 15th in the league in offensive points per game. So, obviously, the defense isn't there. Now, you might have had guys who wanted it more in Chicago. I mean, you get, you know, it's easy to credit the coach at all times. And not the system, not the players at all. You know, clearly, whatever, same coach. Same coach.
Well, again, people are always going to email me, what do you have against Tibbs? Tibbs is one of the best coaches of all time. He's a fantastic coach. He works hard. I have no problem with his ability or knowledge as far as coaching the game of basketball. An excellent work ethic. He's got a major problem in playing his best players into the ground. And he sacrifices players' health for regular season wins. Yeah, I got a freaking problem with that. I think that's wrong. I know I'm going to get a bunch of emails or a bunch of tweets. Come on, it's regular season games. Jordan played, you know, 38 minutes a game. That was 20 years ago. That was a whole other era. Players now aren't playing that. The Spurs don't have a guy in the top 50 in MPGs. Science has proven this is wrong. You shouldn't be playing guys that many minutes. So, yes, I have a problem with it. And especially if a player like Towns' ability, You don't do it. So I'm not going to get all upset yet. It's only been seven games, and he's shown some remarkable, in my opinion, progress based on what he did in Chicago. But I still have an issue with it. So if you got an issue, if you don't think it's a problem, fine. I just don't want to hear your mouth complaining about, oh, bad luck for Tibbs. Another one of his big players goes down. He's part of the reason they're going down. It's just insanity. It's just insanity. But, you know, enough about that. The Minnesota Timberwolves, a 2-5 team that sucks. Let's talk about the Bulls. They're 5-4. Who do we got next on the agenda? I forget who they're playing tomorrow.
Oh, boy, let's see. I got to bring it up here. But tomorrow night, the Bulls are the Wizards. So
then they go on the West Coast pretty soon.
Then they go on the West Coast trip. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do throughout the rest of November because they play the Wizards, but then they've got three back-to-back tough games, Portland, Utah, and the Clippers. Let's be honest, the Lakers, so they play the Clippers-Lakers on a back-to-back. That won't be easy. The Lakers are winning basketball games right now. They're 500. And, I mean, they beat Golden State, man. I mean, they've beaten some good teams, the Lakers. So they ain't no slouches. You got Denver, Philadelphia, and then another game against Los Angeles to end off the month, but I could see us being under 500 potentially at the end of November. It'll be interesting. I could see us being, I think, in my personal opinion, Fred, to be honest with you, we're at 5-4 right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games for the rest of the month. I'd be happy if they won. If the Bulls are 500 at the end of this month, at the end of November, I'll be happy, honestly, to be honest
with
you. I wouldn't disagree. Well.
I wouldn't disagree. They're not going to beat the Clippers. Clippers are 7-1 or so, something like that.
Portland will be tough.
They got to beat L.A. They got to beat Philadelphia. You know, they got to beat
Denver, Washington, and Philadelphia are three big games because you're playing crappy teams. But you know, and you're going to have rest. I mean, the Miami victory to me was an important win because you beat Miami after coming off of a back-to-back. So, yeah, important.
Do you really feel like Washington is this bad? That's another thing, too. They're not that bad.
They didn't make the playoffs last year, Fred. So, I mean, that's a big sample size. They're the same team.
Yeah, but you got John. They had a ton of injuries last year, with the exception of John Wall, who made somewhat healthy. You got a ton of talent on Washington. I don't know why they're. I got to look a little bit deeper as to why they started that bad. But you know, they have a lot of talent too. It's kind of amazing. I don't think there's as many layups anymore. You know, in the NBA, it just seems like it's a little bit more difficult. There's not a ton of teams coming in, or you're going to that. Oh, this is easy. Denver. I mean. Denver beat Minnesota at Minnesota. Denver, you know, has got a number of wins this season already. And you think that team sucks. The Lakers, that used to be a layup. No longer, you know what I mean? I mean, they just beat Sacramento. We'll see.
I agree. It'll be interesting. The thing is, you know, I think we made a bad it'll be interesting to see if what we just said, Fred, if the themes that we have said are going to be the themes throughout the rest of the year. The problem is that, you know, I don't really see a light if we don't make a couple moves. But how are you going to make moves? You don't have players that you're going to be willing to trade. So I just don't see how we're really going to make this step. I think at best we're fighting for a playoff spot. And, you know, that's fine. That could be good enough. I enjoyed watching the Miami game last night. That could be good enough. But, you know, Dwayne Wade's not going to return to 2005 form where he alone could be enough to help carry a team. So. We need a couple. You really need Nico, but it's just like Nico looks so damn lost. I just don't see Nico ever being what we need him to be a quality NBA player.
No, agreed. I think he will, though. I mean, do you really believe he's going to play this bad all year? I think he'll improve as the season goes on, and I think he'll have a couple of those special nights which Nico is known to have. That's what he seems to be, an inconsistent player who sometimes plays great. Sometimes plays awful, gets in awful shooting slumps, and I mean, I think we're starting to see what Nico is. But you got to expect him to play better. He's not going to be this bad all year, and I think Doug's got more of a bright side in the offensive end. I really do. I like the way he's taking it to the hoop. I like the way he's rebounding. I like the way he shoots. I think Doug's got a higher upside than Nico. I really do. But you know. I still like this team. You made a good point. I do think we're an acquisition away, and I highlighted where our needs are from really scaring teams. But even as a team as is, it'll be fun to watch. And, you know, no one's going to probably beat Cleveland anyhow if LeBron's healthy. So let's enjoy it, you know.
That's what I got. I agree. I have no problem with it. It's just going to be interesting to see. And also, you know, Rondo's got to get his act back together because the last few games, he played amazing the first three games. He hasn't been that great the last few games.
Do you really want to be Philadelphia? You know, Philadelphia, how long have they been rebuilding? And they started off the season, what, 0-7? In the last 12 seasons, Mark, quiz for you. How many times has Philadelphia had a winning season?
Like once?
They had it one time. One time in the strike-shortened 2011-12 year where Rose tore his ACL. And they played.
Well,
I think
they got to say this, though, Fred. I mean, I think Philadelphia is an extreme example because I think they've drafted poorly. Whereas, look at L.A., man. You lose Kobe Bryant, and it looks like L.A.'s got some pieces and that they might soon be okay. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here, though, because, okay, maybe the Lakers are a 500 team, right? Okay, well, if you're a 500 team, you ain't getting those draft picks anymore that you were getting before. So, you know, you're going to be solely going on people want to go and play in L.A. Do I think they have a single piece on their team that can help lead them to a title? No. Yeah, I mean, I feel like you need to get to those depths to really get those kinds of players. And, I mean, look at Brooklyn. Brooklyn's been terrible the last couple of years. They haven't gotten anybody that's put them in a position where they can be even slightly better. So, I mean, we'll see.
All right, my man. I got to hit the road. Hey, brother.
All right, Freddie.
You have a great weekend and enjoy the game this weekend. And great talking to you, brother, as always.
To you as well, my friend. And until next time, if it ain't both.
It ain't basketball.